In our scriptures, it talks about the world. When it refers to the world, it is that which is not being influenced by a relationship with God. It is being apart from God. These are independent human actions, the way of the world. Humanity causes great harm to God's creation. The created order does not function in the way in which God intended. The results are contrary to the well-being of humankind, to our own well-being. And so this last week, I was struck by the stark reality of the ways of the world. It's a long list of ills within our world, within our society. It's really quite lengthy. But as I reflect on the violence in Florida, I think of the great price that was extracted from family members and loved ones who lost men, women, and yes, just children. Our world is full of conflict, many different degrees and many different levels. We read about assaults upon one person, upon another, whether they be physical or verbal or emotional. The corruption that exists and the complicity of those who take no action. The greed that so often drives people in many ways. The evidence of prejudice and bigotry. There is complacency in the world. So often it's the powerful who rest upon their own self-satisfaction. And we can see the factions. That's what divides us. We're just being moved by self-interest. The world has a negative impact on our environment. We abuse our resources. We harm this creation. And looking at these long lists of ills, one of the great tragedies, I believe, is our lack of dialogue with one another, of having conversation about these issues, of engaging in debate to try to identify the problems and to seek solutions. In Genesis, we read about the people and the story of Noah. They're no different than we are today. In the sixth chapter, it says, the wickedness of humankind was great. The wickedness was great. Yet with that, there is a sense of hope. Because upon witnessing the behavior of humankind, we read that God is grieved to the heart. When God looks upon the ways of the world, God is grieved, God is burdened, God is distressed, and God suffers. But there is hope because through God's covenant, a promise that remains intact in spite of the conflict of worldly ways, God preserves creation. God intends to work in it to carry out God's purpose. The covenant in which we read about is between a superior power and someone in the lesser position. It is a superior position, it is the stronger position, that is the party with power and the one that acts. And therefore, in a divine covenant, it is God who takes on all the obligations and will carry them out. And God's action is not dependent upon our conduct. God commits to the future of that which is less than perfect, this world in which we live. God's concern is for safeguarding relationship with humanity and relationship with creation. Yet all the while, God's grief is ongoing. But we know God will bear it for the sake of creation. And eventually, God will take on all suffering. But in the darkness, there's light. The story of Noah in Genesis is really about new possibilities and a new way and new life. There's a story about a young couple that was traveling through the Deep South. They were driving just along rural roads to experience kind of the feel for the Deep South and all the beauty. And as it was lunchtime, they came upon a little barbecue place. It consisted of a kind of a shack and an outdoor cooking area. And in the back, there were penned up pigs and chickens and so forth. And so they stopped and they had a wonderful barbecue chicken lunch. And so they asked the young man, he said, "Well, I'm assuming that the chickens, they're fresh." And he nods his head. And she says, and so the woman asks, "Well, how do you prepare the chicken?" He says, "I'll be right back." So he goes back around the shack. He's gone for a moment. And he comes back and he says to the couple, "Well, nothing special. We just tell them they're going to die." But the story of Genesis is not about death, it's about life. A new life. That God will work within the world that is defined by sin. God will exercise divine power to redeem the world. Creation is complicated. It is separated from God by sin. But God has not ceased, nor has God refused to work in and through the world, in and through us. The covenant is an unconditional promise. God will not forget. God will remember the covenant. God takes that responsibility. We read where God says, "I will set my bow in the clouds and it shall be a sign. I will remember my covenant. I will remember." And creation can continue to thrive even with human sinfulness. The Creator God has a relationship of love and of faithfulness, even when we do not. We still rest on God's promise that remains in force regardless of our human response. There is a man who is talking about his wife and a little bit about their relationship. And he just says, there's one important point. In an argument, any argument, I have to be sure my wife has the last word. Anything I say after that last word is the beginning of a new argument. It is a husband who believes that no matter how he might respond, he would be wrong, that he would lose. But in the story of Genesis, the covenant that God shares, no matter how we respond to God, God's promise remains intact. God will display mercy with the purpose of restoration. God will display mercy for the renewal of a relationship between God and us. And this is the covenant that needs to be heard in our world. This is the covenant that needs to be heard to share a sense of hope. An assurance that the future will develop, the future can grow, and that the world does not have the final say. And in our lives, we can experience then a glimpse of God's intended creation. For we know that through the covenant promise, the relationship God has with us is secured with all humankind. And it is a covenant that needs to be heard so that we can build our relationships then with one another. Amen.